Hello, beautiful. This is Reverend Jennifer Hadley, and the recording you're about to listen to is part of the Living A Course in Miracles teleclass. Our intention in offering this class is to give you clear tools and practices that you can use to align with love every day in every area of your life. No one can do your healing for you. You must decide to choose love in every moment to the very best of your ability. Remember, miracles occur naturally as expressions of love. Intend to live a miraculous life of love and share the benefits of your healing and your expansion with everyone because you're one with them. Please pause the recording before the class starts and write down your intention in listening to the class. Partner up with your own higher Holy Spirit self. And please go to jenniferhadley.com for more tools and practical loving support every day. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the class.
Welcome to Living A Course in Miracles. I'm Jennifer Hadley, and I'm so glad that you are joining me now, whether you're joining me live or you're listening later. As I say all the time, we get to transcend time and space by means of this technology, and that's a blessing to all of us. I'm so grateful for Lisa Natoli and the beautiful class that we had yesterday with her. She was so gracious and was willing to take on my topic of releasing temptation and torment, which Spirit gave me. And I knew right away that Lisa would give us an awesome class on that topic, which she most certainly did. And she was grateful to receive it. As soon as I asked her if she would consider it, she said, "I love that topic." So how wonderful that we are able to be in sync like that. So this is the homework class, and I'm going to give you some practical tools and tips and insight based on my own personal experience of releasing temptation and torment. So I'm inviting you to take a breath with me as I move into prayer. We pray at the beginning to open our hearts and open our minds to the higher Holy Spirit self, and to hear, to know, to receive, to allow divine wisdom, guidance, insight, and clarity to flow through our heart and mind in the most beautiful ways. We are grateful and thankful to ignite by pure spirit. We are grateful and thankful to open our hearts, to open our minds to the infinite possibility of pure love. We are grateful and thankful to allow divine wisdom and clarity, beauty and truth to reveal itself in our awareness, in our life, in our words and our thoughts, in every aspect of our experience. We are grateful to share the benefits of our healing and our expansion with everyone because we are one with them. So grateful and thankful to allow the healing to be. We let it be. And so it is. Amen. 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 Yes. All right, so releasing temptation and torment. One of the things that A Course in Miracles tells us is that all temptation is of the body. All temptation is of the body. So all the temptations that we have are really to keep us playing small, to live in lack, attack, limitation, and separation. And so every time that we can recognize that all temptations serve the same purpose of increasing our sense of limitation, that's helpful to us. At least it's helpful to me because we can cultivate this great willingness to give up living in limitation. And limitation expresses itself or is revealed in many different forms. Now, the thing about limitation that I find is helpful to understand is that limitation is purely of the ego because spirit is unlimited. Spirit is the all in all. What limit could there be? Since spirit is unlimited and infinite, there is no limitation in spirit. Our spiritual nature knows no limit. Only our personality, only the ego knows of a limit. So when we have a thought like, oh, there's not enough for me. Oh, I'm never going to make it. Oh, I can't do it. As Lisa was talking about yesterday, the I can'ts. Limited thoughts, when we're paying attention and beginning this work, we start to notice that limited thoughts are all day long. And they are the focus of our attention. One of the things that I invite people to do who are in my Finding Freedom class, in my Masterful Living course, my spiritual boot camp, and my year-long class, is to begin to pay attention to the limited thoughts and to start writing them down. Now, I was talking about this with someone earlier today. One of the things that many spiritual students will avoid doing, thinking that it's not necessary, they really don't need to, is they will avoid writing things down. But writing things down is one of the ways that we can connect to the higher self. And I have found that in writing down the limited thoughts and keeping track of them, and nowadays many people can do it in their phone. I take a lot of notes in my phone. I remember one time in my spiritual community in LA, which has been renamed. It's still there, but I'm not an active part of it anymore, but it's called Inspire LA. So I would do Sunday services, and I noticed that one or two people would be on their phone a lot during the service. And I remember mentioning it to someone like, oh, she's on her phone a lot during service. And a friend of mine said, yeah, because she's taking notes about what you're saying. I'm like, oh, I thought she was texting or surfing the web. No, she's taking notes. Okay, that's interesting. I wouldn't have thought of that because back then I really wasn't using my phone to take notes. So you see how perception is projection, projection is perception. So here's the invitation to really make a commitment out of self-love. Because you love yourself and you're in a program to set yourself free, begin to be willing to just make a list of the thoughts you think that or that enter into your awareness, which you could actually invest in by agreeing with them and thinking them, the thoughts that are limiting. So it might be a lot of thoughts. I was talking about this with John Mundy the other day. A lot of thoughts that are limiting start with always and never. And you'd think, always? How can an always thought be limiting? It's you always forget. Well, that's a limiting thought. You always leave your stuff on the floor for me to pick up. You always forget to close the door. You always forget to whatever. You always disrespect me. It's a limiting thought. Hardly anybody does anything always. And if we don't like what it is that we're affirming, like leaving your stuff all over the floor, leaving a mess in the sink, why would you confirm or affirm you always do it? I always feel left out. Well, maybe not always. If you wouldn't like to feel left out anymore, why affirm that? I always feel I'm not smart enough. I always feel people won't like me. Begin to pay attention to these thoughts of lack, attack, limitation, and separation, because they all cause torment and suffering and more experiences of lack, attack, limitation, and separation. So making a list of them brings them to our awareness. And in your list, at the very top of the list, you can write, these are the thoughts and beliefs I am giving to the Holy Spirit for healing. I am not interested in thinking these thoughts anymore. They have no value for me anymore. I am done with these thoughts. Holy Spirit, please take every thought on this list out of my mind so I never think it again. Replace all of these thoughts with thoughts of love, appreciation, kindness, joy, freedom, prosperity, wholeness, beauty, truth, wisdom, purity, clarity, abundance, harmony. I'm willing to let these thoughts go forever and to keep my entire focus and awareness on God and only God. Please make it so now. Thank you. I love you. Now remember, you'll have the transcript, so you can actually take those words exactly and put them at the top of your list. Can you see how beneficial it would be to carry this list with you and be adding to it every day? Can you see how valuable it would be if it was that simple for you to really truly give away the thoughts you do not need, that torment you, and that are a temptation to your ego-identified experience? We can let these thoughts go to the Holy Spirit. This has been one of the most wonderful aspects for me of living A Course in Miracles day after day, is that I truly can give to the Holy Spirit anything I'm no longer interested in. I truly can. The Holy Spirit is there for me 100% of the time. Am I there for the Holy Spirit even 10% of the time? So, we think, oh, it's just not possible to be there for the Holy Spirit 100% of the time. Even 50% of the time, it's just not possible. Well, I'm here to say it is possible to be aligned 100% of the time. I haven't done that continuously for a long period of time. However, I'm on my way. I'm intending it every day. A lot of people won't even write down their aspirations, their intentions, and their goals and affirm them. They won't keep to them. They're afraid to make agreements. I understand that so well. And yet the end of temptation and torment comes from our willingness to do this work. This is the work that we can do. This is the demonstration of our willingness. So we need do nothing but be willing. And the more we can demonstrate our willingness, the faster the healing happens. But we don't need to do anything besides be willing. And we'll still have a healing. I think most of us would like to speed things up. We've had enough with things being dragged out. And so we're willing to put the pedal to the metal a little bit more. And so making this list is really helpful. And you know what? It doesn't cost a dime, not a penny, to do it. Most of us have pen and paper already. We've got it. We've got the room in our phone, on our computer. So there's just no expense involved. We can do it. And even more wonderfully, you know what you can do? You can invite a loved one to join you in this practice and then connect in with them every day, once a week, something like that, to plan, to get together, to have a conversation and say, here are some of the things I gave to the Holy Spirit for healing today. Here are some of the things I gave to the Holy Spirit for healing this week. So I'm going to invite you to begin your list now. Thoughts of lack, attack, limitation, and separation that you'd like to give to the Holy Spirit for healing. Let's just see if you can write down three. Three thoughts of lack, attack, limitation, and separation that you are frequently tempted to think, to agree with, to place your energy into, that you're willing to let go of. Here and now. Let's take a minute to write these down. Giving yourself this gift of giving them to the Holy Spirit. I love that the Course says all temptation is of the body. It reminds me that if I agree with temptation, go with temptation, then what happens is I am feeling more identified with the ego, more identified with the body. And as someone who has really struggled with self-medication of many different kinds, food, alcohol, work, smoking, I can say that I don't have an issue with that anymore, which is amazing and miraculous to me. It did fall away because of my willingness to do the kind of work that we talk about in these Living a Course in Miracles classes, just like Lisa was talking about, that all healing is at the level of the mind. And so let's work at the level of the mind where the healing is, rather than at the level of the body, where the symptoms are. So one of the examples that I have found very helpful to me is if you think of something like, let's say you have a cough, okay? A cough is a symptom. It seems like a problem because if you're coughing and coughing and coughing, it can really be painful and difficult. However, coughing is a symptom of something going on with the throat and the lungs. Could be a sinus drip, could be any number of things. But the real issue is what's causing the cough. These thoughts that I'm inviting you to begin to write down as a practice of offering them to the Holy Spirit, these thoughts are congruent with your beliefs. And literally, what's actually happening is we are magnetizing into our awareness the thoughts that are congruent with our beliefs. All beliefs are false. Truth is true, and all beliefs are false. We don't believe the truth. We know the truth that sets us free. And beliefs are false. They're projections. They're perceptions. And so if we would like to live a life of truth and freedom, love and joy, we're going to stop being tempted to energize our beliefs, which are always false, because there's no benefit to energizing and investing in and further believing our false beliefs. So if I have a belief that I'm not good enough, I'm going to draw into my awareness thoughts like people's love for me is conditional, that people will only like me if, or I don't deserve, all kinds of thoughts that aren't true, that will actually, when they come into our awareness, they might be like a thought of, oh, ah, that's a horrible thought. Oh, that's a painful thought. When we have those kinds of cringing reactions to a thought coming into our awareness, that right there is a healing opportunity. It's an opportunity for us to recognize the temptation to invest in a false belief. When we choose to invest in a false belief and think we're right, think that thought is true, then we're going to notice some things. We're going to notice that we get upset. We're going to notice that we feel afraid or worried. We're going to notice that we're not so happy now. We're going to notice that we're feeling uncomfortable. Maybe we're angry. All kinds of stuff is going on. All of that is an indication that we're investing in something that's not true, and we have the freedom to change our mind if we are willing. And that upset, that irritation, that frustration is the very thing that the Holy Spirit gives us, that our higher self gives us, which is the Holy Spirit, to assist us in not going unconscious and believing things that aren't true. The upset is helpful. So just like Lisa was saying yesterday about being grateful for everything, we can even be grateful for the upset. That's what I was saying too yesterday, is I'm so grateful that I cannot think thoughts that are false and feel comfortable, feel peaceful, feel harmonious. The bigger the lie, the more the upset. I do not wish to self-medicate when I'm believing the lies and the upset. Instead, I'd like to choose to set myself free. So when we write it down on our list, we're giving it to the Holy Spirit for healing. That's choosing liberation. That's choosing freedom. It's a divine opportunity for a breakthrough. I say, bring on the breakthrough. Let's bring it on. And our willingness is all that's required. So we don't have to figure out how to get that thought out of our mind. I'd like to wash that thought right out of my mind. We don't have to figure out how to get it out of our mind. We don't have to figure out where it came from, how long it's been there, who taught it to us, why we liked it, all the history of how it came to be something we are interested in. None of that matters now. And for sure, once we give it to the Holy Spirit for healing and we mean it, we won't care at all where it came from or why we have it. It just won't matter to us at all. Why would it? In the same way that if someone dumped a bunch of trash on your yard and it was really stinky, and for a long time you just didn't want to deal with it, you just didn't even want to go out in the yard and pick it up or clean it up or do anything like that, and it just was festering and festering, and now you've got vermin and you've got all kinds of flies and they're laying eggs and hatching into larvae, and it's just creating more and more mess and stink, and you're thinking, oh God, I just don't want to go out there and deal with it. Oh, it's disgusting. What if you could just call the Holy Spirit and you say, there's a huge mess in my yard. I don't know where it came from. Somebody just left their trash in my yard. But I don't want to live this way. Will you come and take this away and clear it up or do whatever needs to be done so that I can have an impeccable, pure space in my yard? Wouldn't that be nice? Well, we've got it. We've got the Holy Spirit helping us. But we have to be willing to let go of it. The Holy Spirit can't just come in and clean up our yard without our saying, would you please help? That's what John Mundy and I were talking about. That we need to be willing. And one of the ways that we can affirm our willingness is to ask for help. So much healing is available to us when we're willing to ask for help. One of the most wonderful tools that was given to me, and I believe it was given to me by the angels because I asked for it, the angels told me, you don't even have to know what the challenge is. Like, you don't even have to know what the negative thought is that you're believing that's making you sad or depressed or afraid or hurt or worried or anxious or nauseous or headachy. You don't even have to know what it is in order to give it away for healing. You just have to be willing. And you can even do this, according to the angels, and it works for me. You can even do this. You can say, if I knew what to ask for, what would I ask for? If I knew what to ask for, what would I ask for? I'll ask that question, and it's wonderful how I will get a teaching right there in that moment of what to ask for. And then, of course, don't forget to ask for it. A Course in Miracles tells us, ask and it is given because it's already been given. Everything's already been given to us. Nothing is denied us. We're the ones who deny. There are, we don't have to seek for love, A Course in Miracles says, but simply to seek within, to find the perfect love and remove the blocks in our mind to love. I'm going to pause and blow my nose here for a moment. Something in the air is causing some Some symptom. That's what it seems like. I think what's really going on, I'm getting a chakra upgrade. I often feel like that's what's happening when there's any kind of appearance in the body, is it's an opportunity for me to rest more, to take things slower. And I definitely have been feeling tremendous shifting in my awareness this year. Such a time of expansion and clarity. I will say that as I look around me, I see that the people who are willing to do the work and be open-minded and open-hearted are having so much healing. And the people who are resisting and reluctant, they're having harder challenges. And those harder challenges are pressuring them to take stock, to reevaluate, and to make new choices. And the best choice is to give the Holy Spirit the heavy lifting of figuring out how you're to go forward, how you're to experience more peace, more love, more joy. I think that the greatest gift that I can share with anyone in terms of a teaching is that gift of becoming more receptive, more willing to receive, more willing to go to God for direction rather than trying to figure anything out anymore. It seems hard to believe, it really does, that we can have so much healing via the Holy Spirit. It seems that we don't deserve it. We're not worth it. Oh, how perfect is that? I just thought of this sentence, this line in the Fear and Conflict section in Chapter 2. And I opened my book literally to the page where it is. Oh my gosh, that's so cool. Thank you. So it's in paragraph 9, chapter 2, section 6, Fear and Conflict, one of my favorite sections in the whole of the book. And in the middle of paragraph 9, it says, actually, I'll start at the beginning. It says, everyone experiences fear. Okay, it's not just you. Everyone experiences fear. Yet it would take very little right thinking to realize why fear occurs. Few appreciate the real power of the mind, and no one remains fully aware of it all the time. However, if you hope to spare yourself from fear, there are some things you must realize and realize fully. The mind is very powerful and never loses its creative force. It never sleeps. Every instant it is creating. And this is the sentence that I thought of a moment ago that brought me over here. It is hard to recognize that thought and belief combine into a power surge that can literally move mountains. It is hard to recognize that thought and belief combine into a power surge that can literally move mountains. And I often say, including a mountain of my trash, thought and belief can combine to move a mountain of pain and suffering. So how do thought and belief combine in that way? So it's when we're taking our heart and investing it in a thought that's true, like, I am perfect. I am willing to be free. I am willing to be truly helpful. I am here only to be truly helpful. to really invest ourselves in the thought, I'm going to give all the consequences of my wrong decision to the Holy Spirit for healing. What a wonderful thought. I'm going to give all the consequences of my wrong decision to the Holy Spirit to undo. Did you realize we could do that? That's the prayer at the end of chapter 5, page 90 in my book. And by the way, in my book, this part from Fear and Conflict, it's page 31. So no matter how big we think our problem is, no matter how intense our suffering is, thought and belief combine into a power that can literally move a mountain. So are we willing to invest our thought and belief in the power of God to move the mountain? Or do we think that we have to hire somebody to help us move the mountain? Or do we think that we're not worthy of moving the mountain, that this mountain is our punishment, that we have to earn our release from suffering? You know, I remember in Paramahansa Yogananda's book, Autobiography of a Yogi, which is a beautiful book. And for those of you who might not be familiar with Yogananda's teachings, he started the Self-Realization Fellowship in the United States. He was sent by his guru to the United States from India. Again, his book is called Autobiography of a Yogi by Paramahansa Yogananda. And in there, if I remember correctly, he tells a story of dissolving 50 pounds of extra weight that he had gained in just, I think it was less than a week. Seems hard to imagine, but you see, transfiguration, which is the restoring of the body, the miraculous healing and restoring of the body, is really possible. It happens. And that does seem like moving a mountain. Remember, Lisa shared the story yesterday of someone who was told she needed a liver transplant, but she decided to work A Course in Miracles instead. And it worked for her. Willingness. Great willingness. We have the capacity for great willingness. We do. I know I've seen people who were absolutely determined to find a Starbucks. They had great desire and willingness to have that Starbucks or whatever it might be. They're willing to drive for hours. Great willingness to go visit their grandchildren, right? To drive 3 hours there and 3 hours back in the same day. All kinds of things that we have a great willingness to do. Can we cultivate that same great willingness for our healing? Maybe you would drive your dog 4 hours to see a specialist, but would you simply take 4 hours out of a day to stay at home and be contemplative and connect with your higher self for the purpose of your healing, for the purpose of releasing the habits of pain in your mind? There are so many things we can do to increase our experience of healing if we're willing. I was amazed at how when I became truly willing, they began to just come into my mind all the time. Do this, do this, do this, do this. And now that's a lot of what I teach in my classes. Exactly what came through for me. Part of it I'm sharing with you today. Making that list. See, now it's easy for you to listen to me talk about making a list, but will you actually make the list? Will you actually give those thoughts to the Holy Spirit for healing? Will you be willing to let those thoughts go forever and let the Holy Spirit heal your mind? Because the Holy Spirit will do it, but cannot do it if you do not allow it. This is how this world works. The Holy Spirit can take anything from us if we're willing. But if we've got our hands wrapped tightly around it, we've got our mind wrapped tight, identified with thinks these thoughts. If we're identified rather as the one who thinks these thoughts, I am the one who is ugly. I am the one who is fat. I am the one who is stupid. I am the one who is lazy. I am the one who is mean. I am the one who is broke. If we're identified with these false thoughts and we're energizing them every day, there's something about them we cherish. And A Course in Miracles tells us partly what it is we cherish these thoughts, these beliefs, these perceptions about ourselves and the world that are so painful. We cherish them largely because we invented them. We made them. We're the ones who made them. Just like I remember, years ago, I used to do some sewing. I haven't really done any sewing in quite a while, but I used to do some sewing, and I made a dress that I wore one time, and it was a pretty dress, but it wasn't a great dress. I mean, it wasn't the most comfortable dress, and it really wasn't made really well, but I wore it for a particular event. I needed to have a particular kind of dress for this particular kind of event, and I never wore the dress again. Do you think I threw it away? I don't know where it is now. I think I did ultimately give it away or throw it away, but I think I gave it to the Goodwill or something. But it took me probably a dozen years, maybe more, before I could say, okay, I don't need this dress anymore, even though for sure I was never going to wear it again. It took me still a dozen years to give it to the Holy Spirit, to the Goodwill. Why? Because I made it. Did it in any way increase my stature to have a dress in my closet that I wasn't wearing that I had made, no matter how pretty it was? No, of course it didn't. Did it make my life better? No, of course it didn't. Did it ease my suffering? No. Did it add money to my bank account? No. Did it serve any good purpose at all? No. So why was I holding on to that dress? Because I was the one who made it. And somehow I just didn't want to let it go. And that's what it is with the thought that I'm lazy. I'm not good enough. Something's wrong with me. I'll never be able to. I'm hopeless. I'm a loser. I'm so stupid. All these thoughts that aren't true. It's the same thing. We just put them in our closet, the closet of our mind, and we keep them and treasure them along with all the other misfit mental habits and false beliefs we keep them because we made them. And most of them, we made them under duress. Like I made that dress. I had to have a dress to wear, I don't know, the next day or whenever it was. So I stayed up late making that dress. And it came out pretty well. All things considered. So that's why I kept it. Look what I made. Look what I made. Mom, Dad, watch me. Watch me, watch me. Look what I made. Right? It's all ego. Spirit doesn't need any of that. Spirit would just say, give it away. Let somebody who can wear it, wear it. Let someone who values it, have it. All right, which leads me to, oh, by the way, the end of that paragraph in the fear and conflict section, it's the last paragraph of the section in chapter two, the last line, two lines, two of my favorites. There are no idle thoughts. All thinking produces form at some level. All thinking produces form at some level is one of the most valuable teachings in A Course in Miracles. All thinking produces form at some level. What is form? Form is more thought. Form is our word. Form is our beliefs. Form is our emotions. Form is our physical body. Form is the situations and circumstances of our life. All thinking produces form at some level. So the level could be at the level of the mind, the level of the body, the level of the emotional body, the level of the etheric body, at some level. At some level. So this is what Spirit guided me to for us today. The other day I was looking at the manual for teachers, the characteristics of God's teachers, one of my favorite sections in all of A Course in Miracles. And, it is in section 4 of the characteristics of God's teachers. The first one is trust, which is the foundation of everything. There are 10 characteristics, and the fourth one is gentleness. Harm is impossible for God's teachers. They can neither harm nor be harmed. Harm is the outcome of judgment. So this class is about releasing temptation and torment. So torment is harm. It's pain. It's suffering, really. That's what it is. And so you could think of it this way. Torment is impossible for God's teachers. They can neither be tormented nor torment others. Harm is the outcome of judgment. Torment is the outcome of judgment. It is the dishonest act that follows a dishonest thought. So when we feel tormented, it is the dishonest act that follows a dishonest thought. So if you just tune within here for a moment and consider how or where in your life, in your experience, in your relationships, in your activities, do you feel a sense of torment? Where in your human experience are you feeling tormented? Even if it's not nightmarish, you feel uncomfortable. You feel, dread, woe is me, this is hard. Or as I sometimes say, the intensity of density. Just consider where you're experiencing that in your life right now. Tune into it. See if you can get a real handle on where you're experiencing that torment. maybe it doesn't seem as bad as torment. Maybe torment doesn't seem intense enough. So torment is a dishonest act that follows a dishonest thought. Let's open up to the higher Holy Spirit self and find out, what is the dishonest thought that is causing this torment? What is the thought, the belief, that's causing the torment? Let's just ask Holy Spirit to reveal it to us now. Whatever clarity you get, I encourage you to write it down and see if you have a spiritual friend, a prayer partner that you can discuss it with to get more insight. One of the things that people have told me has been a real bringer of benefit for them is to listen to these classes with loved ones, with friends, with like-minded souls who are interested in having the healing experience, and to join with them in discussing these classes. And I invite you to do that, to make an appointment, to make a plan, to re-listen to the class with a loved one, where you can pause the recording, you can discuss, you can write, you can make notes. People tell me all the time that it's really true. The more you listen, the more you hear. Since these are free, why not make the most of it? You can print out the transcripts and read and listen simultaneously. That will bring great benefit too. So whatever the dishonest thought is that's bringing the sense of torment, let's give it to the Holy Spirit for healing. Let's not try to heal it ourselves when we don't need to. There's no extra points for that. We can't really do it anyway. It's kind of hubris, ego, to think that you can do the healing. Just let the Holy Spirit do it. It says, it is a verdict of guilt upon a brother, and therefore on oneself. That's what a dishonest thought is. A verdict of guilt upon a brother, and therefore on oneself. So, in other words, a judgment. It is the end of peace and the denial of learning. If it demonstrates the absence of God's curriculum and its replacement by insanity. No teacher of God but must learn, and fairly early in his training, that harmlessness completely obliterates his function from his awareness. Right? So, harmlessness completely obliterates his function from his awareness. It will make him confused, fearful, angry, and suspicious. No teacher of God but must learn, and fairly early in his training, that harmfulness completely obliterates his function. So when we're harmful, I said harmlessness, I think, before. That was confusing. So harmfulness completely obliterates his function from his awareness. It will make him confused, fearful, angry, and suspicious. So if you're feeling confused, fearful, angry, and suspicious, it's because you're judging every time. It says, harmfulness will make the Holy Spirit's lessons impossible to learn. Do you feel like you're on a hamster? You're a hamster on a wheel and you're not really making much traction? Well, if you're judging, that might be why. Because judgment will make the Holy Spirit's lessons impossible to learn. Wow! if that's not a reason to give up judging, I don't know what is. It says, nor can God's teacher be heard at all, except by those who realize that harm can actually achieve nothing. No gain can come from it. So those of us who would like to hear the Holy Spirit's voice, because people come to me all the time, and that's what this whole series is about. People come to me all the time and say, oh, please help me to hear the voice for God. Help me to pay attention to my intuition, the insight, divine guidance, inspiration. And that's why this whole series is about cultivating spiritual sight, moving out of pain, and expanding into love. So, those who judge will not be able to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. It says, God's teachers are wholly gentle, completely gentle. They need the strength of gentleness, for it is in this that the function of salvation becomes easy. So we're here to be the salvation of the world through forgiveness, right? Forgiveness is the practice of non-judgment. The judgment is what unforgiveness is. True forgiveness is letting go of the judgment. To those who would do harm, it is impossible to be the salvation of the world. To those to whom harm has no meaning, it is merely natural. So, being forgiving is merely natural. Fulfilling our function in the world, being the salvation of the world, forgiving is completely natural for those who intend no harm. Who chooses hell when he perceives a way to heaven? And who would choose the weakness that must come from harm in place of the unfailing, all-encompassing, and limitless strength of gentleness? The might of God's teachers lies in their gentleness. For they have understood their evil thoughts came neither from God's Son nor His Creator. Thus did they join their thoughts with the Holy Spirit, with God, who is their source. And so their will, which always was God's own, is free to be itself. This is the power of non-judgment. And the next characteristic of the teachers of God is joy. Joy is the inevitable result of gentleness. Gentleness means that fear is now impossible. And what could come to interfere with joy? The open hands of gentleness are always filled. The gentle have no pain. They cannot suffer. Why would they not be joyous? If you knew you couldn't suffer, if you knew that suffering had come to an end, wouldn't you feel joyful all the time? Yeah. Yeah, you would. For sure. Oh, yeah. This is the way. It's through gentleness. It's through causing no harm. It's through non-judgment. That is the way. Joy goes with gentleness. Excuse me. The gentle have no pain. They cannot suffer. Why would they not be joyous? They are sure they are beloved and must be safe. Joy goes with gentleness as surely as grief attends attack. God's teachers trust in Him, and they are sure His teacher goes before them, making sure no harm can come to them. They hold God's gifts and follow in God's way because God's voice directs them in all things. Joy is their song of thanks, and Christ looks down on them in thanks as well. His need of them is just as great as their need of him. How joyous it is to share the purpose of salvation. Yes. So this is the healing path of releasing temptation, releasing torment. It's releasing the judgment, the habit of judging. And so developing instead a habit of writing down the judgments and giving them to the Holy Spirit for healing is profoundly transformative. It's profoundly transformative. And I encourage you to gather with others to commit to doing this. This is one of the things that propels me to offer my classes so that we can join together and be the like-minded group who are doing it together, so we don't give up and we don't forget. And we're reminded day after day, oh, I am the light of the world and I can choose to know it, to be it, to see it. That's one of the things I say on a regular basis is be it to see it. If you'd like to see love and joy and freedom and peace and harmony in all things, be it. It seems like it's really hard to be it, but that's just the story that we tell ourselves. Our willingness is all that's required. This is the foundational teaching of A Course in Miracles. Be willing to give up your judgment. That's A Course in Miracles in a nutshell, right there. Because all that's required is our willingness, and all judgment is unforgiveness. So to be the light of the world, to fulfill your function in this world, and to be happy. Remember, we were talking about this with John Mundy, that you can't be happy if you're not fulfilling your function. And your only function in this world is to give up judging. Give the Holy Spirit all the judgments to heal your mind. All healing is at the level of the mind. So if you'd like to heal your body, heal your mind by giving the heavy lifting to the Holy Spirit. This is the teaching of A Course in Miracles. It's a very detailed, long, seemingly complex book that is actually incredibly simple. Incredibly simple. But if you're not living it, you won't know it. You'll just think it's hard and you're studying it with your intellect. But remember, the ego runs the intellect. Haven't we all read and bought and studied so many books and audios and done so many classes and retreats and all of that without ever actually really doing the work, really, really applying it? It's so easy to take so many spiritual classes and listen to so many spiritual classes and CDs without ever actually doing the work. And that's why in the Living A Course in Miracles series, we always have these homework classes with specific things that you can do that are life transforming. Because without doing the practices at the level of the mind, we just aren't going to experience the healing rippling out to our relationships, to our body, to our finances, to our joy. You know, I'd like to mention, because it just keeps coming to me today, that one of the things that I offer now is spiritual counseling training. I've been doing this for 3 years now. I'm trained as a science of mind practitioner in the Agape community and as a minister through the Holmes Institute and then through Agape. And I have been training spiritual counselors now for a few years. I have a certification program and I offer a 1 week intensive training. It's part of my certification program, but anyone can take my spiritual counseling intensive. It's a week long, and the next one is in June, June 19th to the 26th. It's in upstate New York, about an hour from Albany, at a beautiful retreat center there. And we've got folks coming from all over. We usually are not a huge group. We're a small group. It is very intensive. The idea is that you will have one of the most deeply personal healing experiences of your life. And that's why it is open to anyone to come and do this deep personal work together. It is about doing the healing at the level of the mind. So we're clearing out the mind to have a clearing in the emotional body, as well as the mental body, and as well as the physical body. What I have found is that the people who do the training often will have miraculous breakthroughs in their relationships, in their physical healing, in their release of negative habits, in their relationships, all kinds of healing demonstrations. And for those who are already therapists or life coaches or family therapists or any kind of a healing profession or a teachings profession where you need to get continuing education or licensing units, you can get them through this training. So it's a wonderful way to meet your professional responsibilities and get some wonderful personal gifts out of it. And then for those who are interested in furthering their spiritual counseling training, you can go right into my certification program if you wish. And there's a lot of support for you in my certification program. I can honestly say that this is one of the very best things that I offer. And people take it even just to improve their relationships, just to hear their intuition better. So I'd like you to know about it, because I don't spend a lot of time advertising it and publicizing it. But there you go, my spiritual counseling training intensive. The next one's happening in June. The last one was in September. So it's possible I'll have another one this year. In the fall, but right now this is the one that's coming up, and there's an early bird special on right now. All right, so I'm going to say a prayer here to close us out, and I would like to say thank you again to all the people who have made a financial contribution so that we can make these classes free. And if you like the way I share in these homework classes, you might really enjoy my radio show. And you can go to livingacourseofmiracles.com/radio. livingacourseofmiracles.com/radio to see the episodes of my radio show there. It's on the Unity Network. You can sign up for the podcast at Stitcher or iTunes. We have buttons for both. And I have a Course in Miracles Facebook group for the radio show, also for Living a Course in Miracles. And so you can get notifications there about things like that. And we are transcribing all the radio show episodes, thanks to generous contributions from people all over the world who are making that possible, so that people who are hard of hearing can read the transcripts because they can't hear the audios. And also for people for whom English is a second language, and it helps them to be able to read and listen, and it helps them improve their English too. So all these resources available at livingacourseofmiracles.com. Actually, one more thing I'd like to share with you. We have at livingacourseofmiracles.com study group support. I really encourage people to consider starting a study group. And so that's why I have several hours of downloads all about how to start a study group, how to run a study group, administer a study group, promote a study group with longtime study group leaders. And so I invite you to check that out at livingacourseofmiracles.com. All right. Oh, I'm so grateful. I'm going to say a prayer here. So here we go. So grateful, so thankful for the love of God that's leading us joyfully and gently every step of the way to our complete awakening. We are accepting the atonement for ourselves. We're accepting our enlightenment. We're accepting our healing. And we are truly grateful to let go of every false thought and belief, to lay them on the altar, to give them to God for healing. We are grateful and thankful that we don't have to figure out how to have a healing. Our work is only to allow and allow and allow. We do. We are grateful to share the benefits of our healing, our expansion, our clarity, our freedom with everyone because we are one with them. In gratitude, we allow the healing to be. We let it be so completely and fully that we can say it's already done. And done it is. Amen. 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 And I love you. Mwah. Thank you for joining with me today. Mwah.
This is Jennifer Hadley again. I invite you to remember that your dedication to your life of love is the best gift that you can share with the world. Love is the only healer, and it's always available to you for the asking. Remember, too, that you cannot have that which you're unwilling to share. Share the love today. Love out loud, and know that all boats rise on this holy tide of love. Thank you for joining us. Please go to jenniferhadley.com for more tools and practical loving support every day.